Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, I hope we can wrap up our discussion on Christian music today on the Beacon Broadcast, which we have pursued now for nearly a couple of weeks, I suppose, because it is a very controversial subject about which there is a lot of smoke and maybe not as much light as I think we need to try to shed upon this subject. And so I hope I haven't unnecessarily offended anyone. I've just simply been trying to bring scriptural truth to bear upon this particular topic and to challenge God's people to think through the issues that are involved and not to be sidetracked by extraneous issues and emotional responses that may have nothing to do with the questions before us. The key text for our extended study has been Colossians 3:16, which says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And we are now ready to wrap up the fourth of the questions that we have asked and endeavored to answer about the Christian and his music. Question one is, what is the purpose of Christian music? Two, what is the most important element of Christian music? Three, what is the place of music as opposed to the words? And number four, is there anything inherently wrong with contemporary styles? Is there anything inherently wrong with contemporary styles? And that's not as easy a question to answer as it might seem on the surface. And I've tried to point out to you yesterday that styles are very much affected by culture, and we can't pick out any one particular cultural style and say, that's God-honoring music, as opposed to this style, and we can say, automatically, that is not God-honoring music. Because styles are not necessarily inherently good or bad. However, we've got to realize, as we tried to show you on a previous broadcast, that music is not neutral. The music, even apart from the words, does communicate a message. Sometimes that message, in fact, maybe nearly always, that message is culturally colored and culturally based. What a particular piece of music would communicate to one person from one culture might not be exactly the same as what it communicates to another person in another culture, but in every culture, there are messages which are conveyed by the music irrespective of the words. And to deny that, to ignore that, I think, is the height of folly, because it is really ignoring the obvious, and I hope I don't have to go back through that again. I showed you an example of it in Exodus chapter 32 with Moses and Joshua coming down off the mountain and hearing the music from the camp below. They couldn't understand any words, if there were words, but they certainly heard the music and it communicated something to them. And I've tried to give you some examples from everyday life. Now, let's talk about old versus new. This seems to be the issue with many people. Old versus new music. We don't want that old music. We have to have new music. I question the premise upon which that assumption is based, that we have to have new music in order to minister to contemporary people. In other words, you have to have contemporary music in order to be relevant, that's a key term, to contemporary man. Is that so? I am not convinced that it necessarily is so. However, I don't think that we want to say, I certainly don't want to say, that there is no place for contemporary Christian music. Contemporary meaning new, as opposed to old. In fact, we like new music at our church. We like it if it is well done. We like it if the words communicate truth, if the words fit into the instructions that we find in the Bible, if they are words that are rich in the wisdom of Christ, if they are words that teach and admonish one another, if they are words that enable us to sing praise to God and to expand upon, to utilize the grace that God has given to His children, then we like contemporary music. And we have a number of contemporary authors that we regularly use in our church services. I'm not going to mention them because I don't really want to get into the argument about this song versus that song, this sound versus that sound, this style versus that style. I just want to say we use a good bit of contemporary Christian music at our church. However, having said that, I must say that contemporary Christian music, that very term, means different things to different people. And to some people, that very term itself labels a particular sound. Now, when I use the term, when I say we use contemporary Christian music in our church, what I mean by that is we use music that is new, that has been written in the last 10, 20, maybe 30 years, but mostly songs that have been written in the last 10 to 15 years. We use some that are excellent, but they may not sound like contemporary Christian music to people who are used to a particular sound identified with contemporary Christian music, because we are cautious and skeptical about this idea that our music ought to sound like the world so that unconverted people will feel comfortable in our church. We think, and I'm repeating of course now, but we think that the music, even apart from the words, communicates a message, and we want to make sure that the message we are communicating by our music matches the message we are communicating by the words. We don't want them to be contradicting one another. We don't want to be sending mixed messages. So, yes, contemporary music, that is new music, yes, by all means, carefully weighed, carefully considered, carefully crafted, biblically solid, doctrinally sound, music that communicates the truth of the message, by all means, bring it on. But another way to introduce something new to your church is to introduce something that is even older to your church. Now, again, different churches have different traditions and backgrounds and histories, but the tradition that I came out of largely focused on music of the last, say, 150 years at the most. And a lot of it, not much more than 100 years old. Generally rejecting the contemporary Christian music that was written in the last 30, 40 years, but reaching back 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, maybe back into the 1800s a little bit. And for the most part, that became pretty much the staple of the music that was sung in the churches that I grew up in. And that has its own particular style and sound, which is affected by the culture of that day. Styles are affected by culture. And because music from that genre does have a particular cultural flavor to it, that music does seem to get a little stale and old and sounds that way to some people. And I can understand maybe the need to want to bring that music into a little more contemporary setting. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that, but we have found that if there is a desire to get out of the rut, so to speak, nothing necessarily wrong with the best of these songs of that era, nothing at all wrong with the best of them, some of them are not the best, and we need to evaluate all of them. It's not just because music has a certain sound or comes from a certain era that automatically makes it good. Every music of every era needs to be carefully weighed, evaluated, and considered. But there's nothing necessarily wrong with the best music of that era. But many times we can go back a little bit further and find music, again, the best of music of an older era that is perhaps better. In fact, in most cases, in many cases, I would say on average is better, better message. And sometimes the music is excellent and sometimes it's a little bit wanting. And often what we do with some of the contemporary music in our church is actually we look to authors, to musicians who take some of the older hymns and set them to more modern music. So we've got what we consider to be the best of both worlds. The best solid doctrine of a bygone era when there was more attention upon doctrine and theology and communicating truth and a better understanding of truth, back to an era when the music, the words of the music, were written by pastors and theologians, not by musicians. Shall I say that again? Back to an era when the words of the music were written by pastors and theologians, not by musicians. If you'd stop and think about it for a moment, you would realize that in most cases, musicians are the least qualified to write the words. They are the most qualified to write the music. That's why pastors and theologians don't generally write the music. They write the words. But let solid, godly, learned men who understand truth write the words, and then let musicians who also understand truth, and you need men who understand truth, but let musicians of godly character and theological understanding, but who have musical skill and ability and understanding, let them write the music to support the words. Then you've got a good match. When you have musicians who very well may be saved, but just rather shallow in their understanding of truth, just emoting, the words don't usually communicate much truth. They may be very moving, very emotional, but see, that's the whole issue. We have too much of that. That's the emphasis today. That's what appeals because of the changes that have taken place in our culture, but that's not what we need, and that doesn't meet the scriptural requirement. So, yes, new music that is God-honoring, that meets the test of Scripture. By all means, bring it on. There is some excellent new music available to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. But also reach into the past, the distant past, back into the 1700s, back into the 1600s. And there's also good music in the 1800s and 1900s, and even into the 2000s, the 21st century. But reach back into the 1700s and 1600s and find some of those excellent hymns, those excellent poems that communicate truth wonderfully by men who have an understanding of truth and have a gift of poetry and a gift of turning a phrase and can take that wonderful truth of God's Word and set it out in such powerful, concise, and memorable ways. And set that to music and set it singing in the hearts of God's people. And then you will have music that fits Colossians 3:16. The Word of Christ dwelling in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Until next week, may God bless you and give you his peace.